Welcome everyone to Youth Week 2022. We invite you to stand on your feet. We're going to get started and we're going to give God some praise, but first we're just going to open up in prayer. Jesus, we invite you into this place tonight. God, I pray that your spirit would be poured out over this service. Jesus, God, that we would just walk in your freedom and your liberty tonight, Jesus. God, that we would worship you with everything we have, Jesus. God, we worship you, Jesus, and we give you all the praise.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, tonight kicks off our annual Youth Week. You guys can all be seated. I have a lot of announcements tonight, so get comfortable. All right, so to start off here, like I said, tonight starts our annual Youth Week. I'm going to start with a couple other announcements. First of all, if you are a guest here tonight, please go to the kiosk and fill out one of these connection cards so we can get some information. If you're watching online, you can go to the bit.ly link that should be on your screen up there to fill out a connection card. I also want to remind you of our church giving options. You can give in the offering box out on the kiosk, or you can mail in your check, or you can use the Church Center app, which I personally love. I highly suggest that. All right, so next, I'm going to remind you all of the hyphen bonfire this weekend. How many people do we have that are hyphen age? There's some. I know there's more than that. But we have a hyphen bonfire this Friday night at 5:30 p.m. It is at Nate and Lauren Neeson's house. All young adults and young families are welcome. It's a great event. Bring a friend, invite someone, bring a chair, and also a dish to pass. And if you have any questions, see Josh and Jenny Manis. I don't see them here quite yet, but see Josh and Jenny Manis if you have any questions. With that, I'm going to jump into some of our Youth Week details. This is one of my favorite weeks of the entire year. I'm super excited for Youth Week. Our theme this year is victory. Can everyone say victory? Super excited about our theme. Sarah is going to speak to us later. Tonight's service, as we're kicking off Youth Week, is going to be a little bit different than a typical Wednesday night service. During Youth Week, Wednesday night is typically kind of our senior night, so we have our seniors speak. And then Sarah tonight will also be kind of sharing her heart on our theme and kind of our vision for the next year. She'll be talking about that. We also have lots of exciting events the rest of the week for Youth Week. If you are between the ages or between the grades, 7th to 12th grade, so going into 7th grade this fall or going to be a senior in high school, that is our youth age. We have some front rows on the side right here. If you are between those ages and you are not plugged into our youth group, please come find me, my husband, Justin and Sarah. We can get you information. I have a schedule of our events for the next week. We have prayer and ice cream going on tomorrow night. Friday and Saturday, we have a district rally here at our church. Saturday night, we have a bonfire, so especially if you're new coming into the youth group, I highly encourage you to come. It's for youth as well as parents and family, so kind of a good way to get connected and get to know our youth group. For that, we'll have a bonfire and volleyball and basketball, so bring a chair for the bonfire as well as a dish to pass. Lots of bonfires going on this weekend. So again, that's Saturday night, and then Sunday, we have our youth-led service here. Brother Ryan Dembski will be here. He is our section four youth rep. He spoke at a Link rally for us in February, I want to say, and did an amazing job. So we're super, super excited to have him here. Also, a reminder that Sunday, we have a lot going on Sunday. It is also our final offering date for Move the Mission, formerly known as She's for Christ. So if you have not given, please pray about it. She's for Christ is, or Move the Mission, is an awesome, awesome fundraiser. And thank you to everyone who supported our Move the Mission bake sale on Sunday. We raised about $1,300, which is incredible. It was way more than we were expecting. So thank you to all of our awesome youth who made signs and baked and everyone who bought some baked goods from us. All right. Also, one more thing about Sunday is we have some, I'm super excited about this, some youth merch that Sister Sarah worked with Brother Jamin to create, and we will have that for sale on Sunday after service. We're super excited. Come see a booth out in the vestibule on Sunday for more details about that. If you have any questions about Youth Week or youth, come find me or my husband or anyone on the youth team. And if you want to join the youth team, this isn't in my notes, but it's super fun. We have fun events. You get to hang out with some awesome kids. Come find me if you're interested in joining the youth team as well. With that, like I said, we have an awesome youth team here, and I want to take a couple minutes to thank our amazing youth team and those who give so much. Truly, the whole church does. Thank you all the parents who drive their kids to events, get here early enough for Sunday school, our pastoral staff, everyone who supports us. But first, I specifically want to thank Sister Jessica Rivest, if she could come up here. Sister Jessica teaches in our youth Sunday school class. She does an awesome job. I'm really ministers to our youth. But beyond that, she really is a mentor to a lot of our youth. She really supports them. We have some kids who run P7 clubs and get difficult questions, and she supports them. I know a lot of our youth really, really look up to her. So we just want to say thank you for all you do to support our youth. We love Sister Jessica. She also just jumps in and helps. Sometimes I feel bad. Just jumps in and helps us with our bake sale. We always are
kind of voluntelling her to do stuff. So next, I want to thank Sarah and Justin. If you guys could come up here. Oh, she's hiding back there. Sarah and Justin are also on our youth team. Like I said, Sarah coordinated some youth merch, got that designed. They help with event planning, taught some Sunday school classes. Truly, we could not do youth events without them. They pour so much into all of our youth. They pour so much into all of our youth group, and Sarah also organizes all of the music for youth, and they do an amazing job. Aren't you guys blown away with how incredible they are? We have a lot of talent in this youth group. They are awesome. Thank you, guys. All right, with that, if you could all stand. I think those are all my announcements, but I'll probably think of something I forgot later. But I'm just going to lead us in prayer as our youth group leads us back into worship. So thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for being here with us today. God, I thank you for this incredible opportunity to worship with our youth, to have this youth week. God, I pray that you would bless this service. Pray that you would help remind us, God, that we have victory through you. I pray that every heart and every soul would leave this place changed tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
But they don't know you like we do. This is victory in the name of Jesus. This 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 victory in the name.
Victory in the name.
Welcome to Youth Week 2022. Super excited for this week. I just want to start off by saying how proud I am of each and every one of these amazing youth up here. I've had the honor and the privilege of working with them and helping them, and they're just absolutely amazing. You guys can sit down. I'm really nervous, so bear with me. As Alicia mentioned earlier, our theme for this week is victory. And I'm kind of just up here to talk about what that means for me, for us. And yeah, so bear with me. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." At the beginning of this year and planning and praying for what we wanted this youth week to look like, I began praying for a theme and what God wanted this week. And as I was going through some of the songs that the youth suggested and songs that had been laid on my heart, I kind of found this general theme. And I texted Alicia and I was like, what about this? And we were just praying and thinking. And then I heard the song that we sang tonight, "I Speak Victory." And it was like something inside me was like, that's the song that you have to do. I sent it to Alicia and I was like, we're doing this. This is it. And we prayed about it. We talked as a youth team and I really felt like that's what God wanted us to focus on this week. Victory. A couple months later, after we had made that decision, Alicia and I's mom passed away. And God, where's the victory in that? We were confused and questioning God, like, God, how do you want us to get up in front of a church and talk about victory when we're not feeling very much victory in our lives? How do we get in front of the youth who are going through some very difficult situations and be like, there's victory in that, just go through the battle, when we're not feeling that in us? And I remember one night I was just journaling my feelings away and I had this thought pop up in my head, there can still be victory in my situation. But God, how can there be victory in this? I don't get it. I'm not supposed to get it, but You know, I'm sure that there are many of you here who are thinking the same exact thing. God, my family is falling apart. God, my marriage is struggling. God, I can't see my kids. God, there's bad doctor reports. There's this, there's that. God, I don't understand. How is there victory? How are you going to use this? Every day for my family, it felt like that. Every day was something different. A bad appointment. Bad news after bad news. And it really did not feel like we were walking in victory. But you know, you can't have victory if you don't walk through the battle. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I remember a couple months ago when my mom was very sick and she was impatient out of grace. And there was a piano out in the lobby and she wasn't able to attend church at the time. So we would go out to the piano. We had some songs picked out and we'd sit there and we have our own little worship service. And there was this one time in particular, I don't even remember who was playing the piano. I don't remember who was there. I just remember it was me and my mom. And we got to the song Waymaker. And we were just singing it. And we got to the bridge, started singing, I started crying. I looked over at my mom. She was sitting there in the recliner, completely blind, pain button in hand. And she has her eyes closed and she's crying and she's speaking in tongues. She did a little hand tap that she always did. "Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop working." Our battles are unpredictable. But one thing we know for sure is even when we don't see it and even when we don't feel it, God is still working and there's always victory through your battle. It's been a tough year for a lot of our youth and many of you and for our church. We may not feel like there's victory, but there is. Deuteronomy 24 says, "The Lord your God is the only one who goes with you to fight for you against the enemies to give you the victory." Romans 8:37 says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much that he died for us." John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me he might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, and be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And again, 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God who giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Despite our situation, despite our confusion and hurt, there is still victory within Jesus. And young people, when you enter your school, when you walk your halls, when you search your P7, there's victory. You speak victory over those students. You speak victory over your school. In church, in those situations, you speak victory. Our family has had one of the hardest situations and hardest times this past summer, but I'm still going to speak victory because I know that that's what God is doing. He doesn't put us through a situation or a battle that we can't handle. Remembering that we go through the battle to receive the victory. At this time, I want to introduce our senior speaker. I don't know where he is right there. Seth Merkus. He always has something wise. He's a natural leader. We are so sad to see you go, but you know you're going to do amazing things.
Thank you. I'll try. Praise the Lord, church. That was the best attempt at Pastor Roy's impression. Got to get to the scriptures. So it's kind of weird being up here. I've seen all of the other youth graduates be up here and talk, and it's like every year it gets progressively closer, and it's like it's my turn pretty soon, and now it's my turn to do it. So we're here and we're going to give it our best shot. and hopefully let Jesus do the rest. That's the attitude I want to have for Bible quizzing. If you do your best, you can let God do the rest. So we'll start with the verses. We got two passages. We got Proverbs 26, verses 13 through 15, and those say, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. There's a lion in the streets." Let's see. There we go. "As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth." And then the other one is Revelation 3, 15 through 16. Let's see if I have it. "I know the things you do." This is the, I forget what version my Bible is. This is the NLT version of it. "I know all things you do, that you neither be hot or cold. I wish that you are either, or I wish you are one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." So I want to preach on, for a few minutes, on this topic. I would, but there's a lion in the way. Yeah. Let's say a quick prayer quick, and then we'll get to our message here. Dear Jesus, thank you for bringing us all here safely. Thank you for what you have done and what you're going to continue to do. Help us to leave here with a new revelation of Jesus, and help us to go home and be the witnesses that you have called us to be. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for being here, and thank you for what you have already done. And we thank you for what you're going to do in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. So those verses we just read, they talk a lot about being lazy and not doing the will of God. There's a lion that can block our paths, and we're either too scared or too lazy, and we don't want to face up to it, and we don't want to make it move. I would do the will of God, but there's a lion in the way. I would stop looking at inappropriate images and videos on the internet and doing perverted things because of them, but there's a lion in the way. I would stop smoking and giving up my drug habits, but there's a lion in the way. I would give up my video games and spend more time right here, but there's a lion in the way. I would stop being depressed or anxious, but there's a lion in the way. You can insert your problem here and have the same thing. The list goes on. We can get comfortable with what we have on earth and create habits that aren't biblical. We can fill our time with the many, many things that the world is trying to sell us. And if we don't keep ourselves in check, we can begin to tolerate the worldly goodies. And when we begin to tolerate them, we begin to accept them. And then when we begin to accept them, we participate in them. And at that point, it's too far gone. We've already sinned, and now we need to ask God for forgiveness. Now, get this. It can be a sin to not do anything. Or it can be a sin to not do what you're supposed to do, rather. That's basically James 4:17 in a nutshell. It goes, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We know we have to win people to God so that way they can go to heaven with us. But it's not just enough to say we have faith that that'll happen. There's that famous passage in James 2 that says, can you say it with me? "Faith without works is dead." It goes on to say that some people have faith and other people have good works. But they don't have both. It's one or the other. James set out a challenge for them. How can you show me faith without the good works? I will show you my faith by my good works. I like the way my Bible puts it. It tells James 2:19 this way. If you say that you have faith because you believe in one God, good for you. The demons also believe that. And they're shaking in their boots. It's not enough to just say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If we don't act like we believe that and live it out every single day, do we really believe that? If you look at Tom Brady, and if he just said, I'm going to win the Super Bowl this year, and he didn't practice, do you think he'd have not one, not two, not five, but seven of those Super Bowl rings on his shelf? Probably not. Let's go back to laziness for a little bit, which is kind of the whole point. But the book of Proverbs talks a lot about this, just like everything else it talks about. It seems like there's a lot of stuff in Proverbs. A couple of places where it talks about laziness is Proverbs 6 and Proverbs 10. Proverbs 6 talks a lot about it and how it will ruin you when it comes to, or when it talks about how the ant will work harder than some people. It talks about how the ant will provide her meat in the summer and gather food in the harvest, and she does that without a guide, an overseer, or a ruler. And then in verse 9, makes another challenge. How long are you going to sleep? When are you going to rise out of your sleep? And then in verses 10 and 11 say, and I quote, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And just in case you missed it the first time, they said the exact same thing, word for word, in Proverbs 24, verses 33 and 34, as you can see on the screen. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, also talks about laziness and how it'll make you poor, whether that be spiritually or like physically, as far as wealth and money goes. Proverbs 10:4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. I think my version says it more so. Lazy people become quick, or are quick to become poor, but hard workers get rich. And then, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. It can also be said as, a wise man harvests in the summer, but he who sleeps in that time is a disgrace. So how do I make that lion move out of the way? Well, that depends. As far as I'm aware, there isn't a universal solution for everybody. What works for me isn't going to work for Roman George, and what works for Pastor Roy isn't going to work for Ben Smith. But there is one universal thing, though, that we can all use, and that's to ask God for help. Amen? If it wasn't for Jesus dying on the cross and having his spirit live on the inside and work on the outside, we would still be in our bondage in sin. Jesus died on the cross for this reason. But you aren't going to heaven just because you believe Jesus died on the cross. If that was the case, and if it was really that easy, more people would be doing it. You have to take action. Everybody say that with me. You have to take action. Now, who's ready to take some action tonight? Another thing to do is to be open and honest with your actions and your past mistakes and such. Just yesterday, actually, I told a very good friend of mine, he's basically a mentor to me, I told him a lot of uncomfortable things about myself that I was struggling with, and I felt in my gut, I was like, I really said that, and it's really out there for everybody now. So it's like, it's uncomfortable to be honest. But if you aren't honest and you don't talk about them and bring them to the forefront, it shows that you want to hold on to them still and you're not ready to give them up. And obviously, you can't be delivered from your sins if you choose not to take the steps towards being delivered. Amen? And let's go back to doors. Pastor Roy has been talking a lot about the doors recently and how to tell whether it's open or closed. But hear me out. I'm going to go on a limb here and say that sometimes the door is wide open, but there's a lion sitting right in the path of the door. And maybe you might be too scared or too lazy to make the lion move. It's not that God doesn't want you to go through the door, it's that Satan doesn't want you to go through the door. So he puts the lion right there to scare you. It's kind of like the boss at the end of a game or at the end of a level. Recently, I've been playing a Zelda game, and in order to progress through the story, you got to go through the dungeon, and you got to beat the boss in order to make the storyline go forward. And you can't go to the next level without beating the boss at the end of the level you're in, right? Also, we might have to get rid of some of the items that we found in other levels. Going back to my Zelda game, the main character can change between being a child and an adult. And when you change to an adult, you can't use the items that you found when you were a child. But those get replaced later on in the game with new and improved stuff. Like, for instance, you got the boomerang, whoosh, and it comes back and you can grab things far away. But when you're an adult, you can't use that. So you got this new item where you can use it as a hook, you can shoot it, it sends out a hook, and you can grab onto things, and it'll pull you up to that. And it'll also act as a boomerang, where it brings stuff back to you. So, you may not have these items anymore, but the ones you get in return are like leagues better than the other stuff. In order to move on to the next spiritual level, we need to be willing to get rid of those things that we found in certain levels, whether they're the good things that helped us progress through the level or the bad things that we found throughout the level that we're still wanting to hold on to. God can't equip us with the new equipment if we choose to hold on to our old stuff. Now, I'm almost done. I just have a few concluding points for you folks. What we tolerate, we accept, and what we accept, we participate in. Being lazy is a sin sometimes. Faith without works is dead. Believe this stuff and act like it. Laziness can make you poor, whether it's in this world or whether it's in the kingdom. Sometimes the door is wide open, but sometimes there's a lion in the way and we don't want to confront it. Bosses are the last test that we have at the end of the level, and if we can't beat that boss, we can't go on to the next level. And if we aren't able to put some of the things aside in order to progress through the level, then we're not going to get through it anymore because the stuff we have isn't adequate to get on to the next thing. And that's where it ends. I hope you enjoyed my PowerPoint presentation.
That was amazing, Brother Seth. Thank you, Sarah, for sharing your heart. I really appreciated that. Sarah and I talked a lot. Kyle and I talked a lot about that same topic, and it's hard to put that into words. And I know she had a hard time putting it into words, but you did a really great job. And Brother Seth, that was amazing. There is a lion in the way. I would, but there is a lion in the way. It goes right along with our theme. We can have victory, but sometimes we just gotta do something about the lion in the way. Well, I'm up here just to kind of wrap up the service, and if the musicians want to come, I will say one more thing. Brother Seth, I meant to say this when I was up here earlier, and now I don't know where you are. There you are. We are so proud of you. Kyle and I are so proud of you. We talk so often about what an incredible young man you are, and we are very sad that you are leaving the youth group, but we know God's got great things for you. Brother Seth Merkus, that was amazing what you just said, but if you've never heard him speak, that's exactly how he speaks in Sunday school. Whenever he raises his hand to say something, you know it's going to be something wise. He's an awesome guy. We're super excited for what God's going to do with your life in the future. Maybe joining the youth team. I'm just kidding, but we take you in a year. All right, well, anyways, we're going to kind of wrap up this service. We're going to do altar call a little bit different. Like I said, tonight's kind of our senior night. And so, Brother Seth, if you would come back down here, I'm sorry. And if all of you would stand, we're going to kind of start before we go into prayer. I'm kind of going to explain. We're going to pray for Brother Seth. As you know, he is graduating from our youth department. Yeah, you can just stand right there. He is graduating from our youth group and moving on to Hyphen, to the young adults group. We know God's got awesome plans for him. We also have Sister Dara Martinez. She is graduating from youth group as well. She is off at Urshan, so she is already moved down there. We know God's going to do awesome things with her as well, so we want to keep her in prayer. And then also, if you don't know, Youth Week is kind of strategically placed right before back to school, and we picked our theme victory this year. Like Sarah mentioned, we had a really tough summer, Sarah and I. We know that affected the entire youth group. We know the church has some difficult, lots of people with difficult situations going on. A lot of kids in our youth group have really difficult situations going on. We know we're not the only ones. And we believe God gave us that theme of victory for a reason. So with Brother Seth, I want all of our youth to come up. And if you guys just want to come right up in the front, all of you, if you're in 7th to 12th grade, come on up in the front. And then behind them, if the youth team, family, if you guys want to come up too, and the whole church, Josh and Jenny, Hyphen team, if you guys want to come up and just pray for our kids who are moving on to that age group. I just want to lead us in prayer. Like I said, we really believe as these kids, some of them have already started school, a lot of them start in the next week or two. We really want to cover them in prayer. We have kids, like I said, who are facing difficult situations, kids who are starting P7 clubs at their schools, leading Bible studies in their schools. It's no secret that middle school and high school is not an easy time in life. It's a lot of fun, but it's not easy. So I'm just going to lead us in prayer, and I ask that all of you would just join us, gathering around all of these amazing young people that we've got. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this incredible youth group that we have. I thank you for our new seventh graders who are joining our group. We've got a big group this year. God, I pray that you would anoint them, that they would find their place in our youth group, that they would feel at home, that they would get connected with us, Lord God. I pray for every kid going into middle school, into high school, that you would touch them as they walk the halls of their school, that they would walk in victory, that they would remember that through you, they have victory, even when they don't see it, even when they don't feel it, they walk in victory because of you, Lord God. Pray that you would touch them, that you would anoint their P7 clubs as they start them. God, I pray that you would anoint them as they talk to teachers, as they talk to classmates. God, I pray for Brother Seth and Sister Dara, God, as they move on in their life, Lord God, that you would anoint them, that you would guide their footsteps, that you would show them the path that you have for their life, God. Remind them that they continue to walk in victory. And God, I pray for every single person who's at this service today, whether they're youth age or younger or older, God. You have victory for us. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, we speak victory over every soul that is here, God. We speak victory over this church, over every individual. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Father's arms are
you all so much for coming, for being a part of our Wednesday night youth week service. Don't forget the, if you are youth age, youth prayer tomorrow night and the rally this weekend. And we will see you all Sunday at 10 o'clock for Sunday school. Thank you.